everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. We're glad you've joined us today for a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, as we do on these Friday editions. So for today, the phone lines into the live program are not open. Still, if you have a question or if there's something you'd like us to discuss, you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, and we'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and in Canada. But for today, it's a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, and here to get us underway is Bob Christopher.
And we're coming to the conclusion of our teaching series on the book of Ephesians. So this is week 14 for us. Last week we took a little respite and talked about the cross of Jesus Christ, his just powerful words, before he died, it is finished, what that means to us. So we took a one-week break. We're back at it this week with the book of Ephesians, and we're going to conclude the book of Ephesians today, and we're looking at the final greetings, the benediction of the letter, so to speak. And as we've talked about time and time again, as Paul met with the Ephesian elders before he went on to Jerusalem, he said, "I am here to testify to the gospel of God's grace." Mm-hmm. That was his task. That was the race that he was called to run. And he wanted to run that race well, and he wanted to finish that race well. And this book of Ephesians really is a book all about the grace of God, the fact that we're saved by grace, that God has lavished his grace upon us, and the fact that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This book is grace from start to finish, and we're going to see that it ends on a note of grace as well, as does almost every other letter that Paul writes, and both letters that Peter writes, and the book of Revelation, but we're going to touch on that in just a few minutes. So the last time we were together in the book of Ephesians, we walked through the whole armor of God. Again, this is a picture of God's grace, what he has equipped us with to live abundant, fruitful, productive lives as believers in Christ here in this world. And so all of us have all of these elements of the armor of God. And standing firm in this grace that we have enables us to stand against the fiery darts that Satan throws our way. And once they're all done, we're still standing.
Yes.
And talk about hope. That is hope. And with that, we should pray for one another. We should be ready to share this gospel of peace. And we should be praying for one another so that we can communicate this good news to as many people as possible. Like we say time and time again here on Basic Gospel, we're here to tell the story of Jesus, to tell it as often as we can to as many people as we can. And so our request of you, our listeners, is to pray for us that we have ample opportunity to do that, to tell others about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and its impact on them here and now.
Yeah.
So that's a powerful prayer for all of us. So as Paul concluded that, he now gets into the final greetings. And so the first several verses of this, I've entitled, "My Business is Your Business." And I think this is important for us to understand. We have been put together in a body. So we were saved individually. So there was a point in time where this gospel message just really touched your heart in such a way it moved you to believe, to receive Jesus Christ. At that point, you were saved. You crossed over from death to life, and you were added to the body of Christ. So you were saved individually, and then you were placed in this corporate entity, this living organism called the church. And we all belong one to another. In this body, there's no Jew, no Gentile, no slave, nor free. We're all one in Christ.
Yeah.
As he talked about in chapters 2 and 3, it's made up of Jew and Gentile. The wall of hostility has been torn down. The hostility in our hearts has been wiped away. We love each other as one in Jesus Christ. So since we belong to one another, our business is each other's business as far as the body of Christ is concerned. Mm-hmm. And that's what Paul's attitude is as he writes these final words. So he says, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything.
Yeah.
So Paul wants to know what's happening with the church at Ephesus, with the believers there, but he also wants them to know how he's doing and what he is up to at that present time, as far as it was concerned back then when he was penning this letter.
Yes.
So there was this flow back and forth, this love back and forth between Paul and the churches that he ministered to. And he looked at them as true partners in the gospel, mm-hmm. as friends. And so he wanted to share his business with them. So it reminds me of what Jesus said in John 15:15. And he's talking to his disciples. And it's right before his death and his burial and his resurrection was to take place. And he says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Yeah. So he just was transparent. He just opened up and said, here's what God is up to. Here's what he is all about. Here is his desires. Here are his plans. Here is how he's going to bring it all about. He just laid it all out on the table,
yeah.
for these followers. So in doing so, he elevated. He said, you're not my servant. You're my friend. And I think Paul was carrying that attitude forward with this church at Ephesus. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you get the sense that whatever Paul was going through personally, he saw as such small potatoes compared to what people out in these cities were going through. And these little house churches spread all over the place. And some of them, you know, we know the Philippians got persecuted. We know that persecution existed in Ephesus. You know, he really cared for these people. He says, I know that my job kind of is to suffer. I know what's coming, but that's nothing. I want to know how you are so that I can pray for you appropriately and encourage you appropriately. I mean, it really is a relationship, a give and take that is unique.
Yeah, of equals.
Of equals,
yeah,
yes.
So Paul didn't look at himself as superior, mm-hmm. to those that he ministered to. He looked at himself as equal, because he was saved by grace through faith, mm-hmm. in Jesus, and the message he brought was the story of Jesus, and those who received it were saved by grace through faith in him as well. So they were all equals within this body,
yes.
of Christ. So there was this love that flowed between them from that vantage point. So he wanted them to know what his business was, how he was doing, what he was up to. And he sent Tychicus as the messenger. And this guy is an interesting fellow, and we'll talk about him in just a minute. But for now, I want to remind you that you are listening to Basic Gospel. This is listener-supported radio. My name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here, and we are working through the book of Ephesians. This is our final session, our 14th session, as we've marched through this book. We have a great resource for you this month. It's called The Resurrection, or Proof, the, mm-hmm. Resurrection. This is kind of the hinge on which everything hangs as far,
yes.
as Christianity is concerned. Without the resurrection, we're without hope. Our faith is futile. We're still in our sins. So the resurrection is everything. And it's the very thing skeptics mock and jeer at and make fun of us for believing. So we want you to have the evidence to know that the resurrection indeed occurred, and that the resurrection has profound implications on your life right now as you live in this world as a child of God. So it's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And click the donate button and follow all the instructions. And be sure to request your copy of Proof, the Resurrection, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we can. So now back to our study in the book of Ephesians, and we're in verse 22 of chapter 6. And Paul says, I have sent him, Tychicus, to you for this very purpose, to let them know how he's doing and what he's up to, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Now, this Tychicus, as Paul said, he was a brother, a beloved brother, and a faithful minister in the Lord. So he was one of those friends that Paul connected with along the way. And he became a member of Paul's traveling team. So yes. We see, for example, in Acts 20, verse 5, that he was one of the men named as traveling with the Apostle Paul. He was from the province of Asia, or modern-day Turkey. Mm-hmm. And so he was a big player, so to speak, in Paul's missionary journeys. And Paul sent him several different places to encourage the saints,
yes,
and help them in their journey of faith in Jesus Christ. So he is just a great guy. And boy, we all need a guy like him in our lives, don't
we? Yeah,
we
do. I mean, this is the kind of trust that Paul had in Tychicus, is that he trusted him to carry some of the most important letters that he wrote to their intended target.
Yes.
He carried Ephesians to Ephesus. He took the letter to Titus while he was in Crete.
Yes.
I think he also did the letter to Philemon. These are important things to be entrusted with.
Yes.
And Paul had every confidence that if he gave Tychicus a job, it was going to get done.
Right.
And so he sent him. And not only was he a good, he didn't just turn the crank. This guy could preach. He could teach. He could bring the encouragement of the grace of God to these people.
Yeah, so he, of course, learning at the feet of Paul. But it wasn't Paul's message that he was delivering. This message had become his message as well.
Yes.
I mean, he knew the grace of God. He had experienced the grace of God, just like the Apostle Paul had experienced the grace of God, just like we experienced the grace of God. So our faith is our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's when relationships really mean something. Because, if you're just talking to somebody that's parroting your words, you may really like that and get your ego stroked a little bit. But they're not experiencing what you're really experiencing.
Yeah.
So your hope and desire is that this grace of God will become theirs, and they will really know it experientially, and this love of God will become theirs, and they will know it experientially, and then can pass it on. And when it's passed on, then somebody that receives it knows it's the genuine thing. It's the genuine article. It's not just a replica of something. This is something that is genuinely sourced by Jesus Christ himself.
Yeah.
So that was what Tychicus was all about. And so he went there to talk about Paul's well-being and then to encourage the hearts of those at Ephesus. So he had a tremendous responsibility there, and he carried it out well. And then Paul gets down to the final benediction, and he says, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul always wants the faith of the people to be in God the Father and Jesus yes. Christ the Son, and to receive the gifts that only they can deliver. I can't deliver those things. I can't deliver peace that passes understanding to another person's heart, but I can point to the one who can, and
yes.
that's Jesus Christ. And so he's saying, peace be to the brothers from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only place peace is going to come from, is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incompatible. So
Incorruptible.
That's what I meant. Not incompatible. Incorruptible. So thank you for being.
Yeah.
So Paul starts this letter on a note of grace. He ends this letter on the note of grace. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Bible, when you look at the Word of God, you realize this whole revelation of God to man is an act of grace. When you look at the creation story, when you look at in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, or the heavens and earth, and then how he created everything else, you see this is a story of grace. He didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. He simply showed favor and created us. And then he shows favor again in recreating us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. This whole story is a story of grace from start to finish. And sometimes we don't realize that, but it's true. I mean, we wouldn't be in existence if God wasn't a God of grace.
Yes.
We wouldn't have this whole created order, the cosmos that is there for our benefit, if God was not a God of grace. And all of it speaks to the wonders of God's grace, his favor toward you and me. And then through sin, we're blinded to that, and we don't see it in those terms anymore. We see it in terms of judgment and condemnation and fear and all of that. Mm-hmm. But then when Christ shows up as the one full of grace and truth, we start to get reshaped. That's called repentance. Our mind starts to change, that God really is a God of grace. And this whole book, we see this act of grace in recreation, in making us new in Jesus Christ, in forgiving our sins, in redeeming us, in sending the Holy Spirit to take up residence in us, putting us together as one body of believers, unified around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit, controlled by the very love of God, and that love being manifested in all relationships that we have, equipped with the full armor. That's grace, start to finish. And Paul simply says here at the end, grace be with all. You look at 1 Corinthians, you get to the very end verse, guess what it says? Grace be with all. You go to 2 Corinthians, guess what it says at the very last verse? Grace be with all. You go through every one of Paul's letters, this is how he ends it. Then you pick up with the Apostle Peter in his first letter. I've written briefly to you, testifying to the true grace of God, stand firm in it. Then you get to his second letter, and he says, I want you to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you get to the book of Revelation. You go to the very last verse of the Bible, and guess what it says? The same thing, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. This is the story, folks. This is what God is interested in for us. And this is the only way that we're going to know him, the only way that we're going to be saved, the only way that we're going to be sustained, the only way that we're going to be in God's presence forever. Because God has chosen to show favor to you and to me. Not because we're cool, not because we're awesome, not because we've earned anything, because God is cool, because God is awesome, because God has chosen to act in this way. And so Paul says, may the grace be with all. Now, he adds a little something here in this particular book. He says, all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And that's an interesting phrase, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it is. It's actually rather difficult to translate, but you don't need to worry about that. This word incorruptible is the same exact word that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 15 to describe what's going to happen to us when we're resurrected. We put on incorruptibility or incorruption. This is a state of being which cannot be touched by any other circumstance or power, because it's God himself who is guaranteeing that incorruptibility. That's the kind of love that we have, because that's the kind of love God has given us in Christ.
Yes, yes. So one of the elements or meanings of this word is it's a love that will not deteriorate.
Yes.
So we see that, for example, this flesh of ours, the desires are being corrupted constantly.
Mm-hmm.
They're deteriorating. We can't make this flesh better. A lot of people try to make the flesh better. But this love that God has poured into our hearts by his Spirit, since it is God's love, it is by nature incorruptible. It is pure. It cannot deteriorate over time.
Yeah.
So it's not going to wane. It's not going to lessen over time. It's just his love. So I wrote this. It is not corrupted by the world, nor does it deteriorate. It is living and growing and animated by God's love for us.
Yeah.
We love because God first loved us. And we can love him genuinely and sincerely. And you will see in a lot of translations this word being translated with sincerity. And
yes.
I think that's the genuineness of this love that we have for him. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that the laws were summed up in these two, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our strength, and our mind, and that we're to love others. Now, Jesus has kind of lifted those, but they're impossible apart from the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Apart from God doing something to our hearts. So we read in Deuteronomy 30:36, for example, that God said that he prophesied that at some point in time he was going to circumcise the hearts of the people so that they could love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. That's what happens to us when we come to Christ by faith. Our hearts are circumcised. God's Spirit pours his love into those circumcised hearts, and now we can love God genuinely because we can respond to his love for us.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you think about this letter, and then you think about Ephesus as a city, and there were all kinds of religions in Ephesus. Paul comes in here and brings not a religion, but a relationship with Jesus Christ, wholly from start to finish by grace through faith. Everything else, anything else, is by definition pagan, because we're trying to do something to appease an angry God. Paul states it so positively here in this letter that, look, if you'll focus on Jesus, the paganism will leave you, and you will discover, by grace through faith, who he is and who you were actually intended to be.
Right. And you will flourish mm-hmm. as a human, knowing who you are in Christ and expressing that love for God and loving one another
yeah.
with this love that is incorruptible, this love that God has poured into our hearts. So Paul finished his race well.
Yes.
He spent every waking moment and used every breath to proclaim the grace of the Lord Jesus. He testified to the grace of the Lord Jesus to the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because his desire for everyone that he ministered to and all that read his words today was this, that the grace of Jesus Christ be with us all.
Yeah.
That's our story, folks. And it's the greatest story that humanity can ever experience, being saved by grace, being sustained by grace, being empowered by grace, and being trophies of grace eternally
yeah.
because of the work of Jesus. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We hope this study through the book of Ephesians has been encouraging to you. If you would like to pick up, they're all available on our archives. Well, we're out of time, folks. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll see you Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.